It's such a joy to be back with you. It was 3 years since we were here last time, and something that we always look forward to when we come to America is to the singing, to sing together. Let me introduce three people that I myself know or have met. First out is Mohammed, who is an Arab from a village in northern Syria. There's no known Christian in his family or village, and before I met him, he did not have access to the Bible. The whole Middle East and North Africa are full of men, women, and children who are born, live, and die without getting to know Jesus. Person number two is called Shania from Somalia. She lived in one of Gothenburg's immigrant areas with her husband and children, an area just like the one we moved into to start church planting in Gothenburg. When Shania lived in Sweden, she never heard about Jesus. The immigrant area where she lived in our city in Gothenburg and the whole Sweden is filled with men, women, and children who are born, live, and die without getting to know Jesus. And then we have person number three, who grew up in a non-denominational church in Sweden and whose testimony was, I love Jesus, I want to follow him, but the Bible feels too difficult to understand to be able to spread it further. This person is not alone. Evangelical churches are full of men, women, and children who lack understanding of the Bible and have not been equipped to pass it on to others. What do Muhammad, Shania, and the church person have in common? And what does that have to do with you and me? Let us go to the last words of Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew. The last word that someone says or writes are often some of the most important thing they have to say. And here is something that we as Christians, to a great extent, have ignored and need to take serious. So let's read together from Matthew 28 and verse 18 to 20. So Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Let us pray together. Father, we are so thankful for the freedom that we have to open our Bibles and to read your words. And we want to confess that to a great extent, many times, your words have gone unheeded in our lives. I pray that you, through your Holy Spirit, would make your word come alive and that you would help us to respond to them with faith and passion to live for your glory. We pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. Let us pay attention to three things in our text today. What, why, and how. So first of all, what? In verse 19, Jesus gives the disciples, and even indirectly to us, a commandment. Make disciples of all nations. So what does this then mean? The word to make disciple, it has to do with learning. Simply to learn Christ. To learn and grow in following him. And this is not a one-time event. But to become a disciple, it begins from the moment a person is saved from the domain of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of Jesus. And then it's a process in which one is trained and equipped to follow Jesus. As Christians, we're not called just to make converts and stop there, which to some extent are popular today, but to make disciples. Jesus did not just proclaim that one should believe or make a decision, but repentance and the cost of discipleship, that we need to be ready to deny ourselves and to follow and to grow in Him. So it was this command, the disciples, but also indirectly we have received. And this is something that becomes clear in the rest of the New Testament. Just to give an example of this to learn Christ and to follow Him and to be equipped to do that, in Ephesians 4, verse 11 to 12, we see how the leaders of the church's task is to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. So every Christian, including you, have a task to be involved in building up the body of Christ and helping others to learn and to follow Jesus. We want to see people come from darkness to light and then to continue to grow in faith and in the relationship with Jesus, so that they in their turn later could help others to do this. Do you remember person number 3? I never mentioned the name. It was me. It was not until I was in high school before I was helped to grow in discipleship, to understand the Bible and to step by step be equipped to help others to follow Jesus. And I'm extremely grateful to those who took on the time to help and to teach me. Making disciples can be done in many different ways, as for example in a sermon like this, but in countless of other ways, such as to meet one-to-one to read a Bible, for example. It can also happen through the Word of God, even when we are not able to open it. Such as, for example, when we talk to a neighbor or a friend about the gospel, or when you speak to your children in the car when you're driving about the Bible and faith, or when you talk to a brother or sister in a difficult situation to encourage them to hold on and to follow Jesus and God's way. It simply has to do with the help of the Word of God to help people to take a step in the right direction to follow and walk with Jesus. To make disciples is something that is for all Christians. And we can do it in so many different ways. You have a task here to make disciples in the ways that God has gifted and equipped you. Maybe you can have a coffee with a non-Christian co-worker, or an ice cream with a classmate, with a goal to introduce them to the gospel or to read the Bible with them. Or maybe you can call or visit a Christian friend who is going through something difficult to encourage him or her. Or why not meet a Christian friend to read a Bible together, to pray and challenge each other to grow on your journey with Jesus. Today is Father's Day, and if you're a father, you bear the main responsibility to disciple your own children. We are all called to make disciples. The second thing we see about Jesus' command is that we should make disciples of all nations or people groups. Originally, when Jesus said it had to do with making not only disciples of Jews, but of all peoples, Jews included. And this through the gospel, the good news of Jesus. But who will tell about Jesus to Muhammad's tribe in Syria? When it comes to make disciples of all peoples, we are really lacking as Christians. If we look on mission statistics, depending on how you count, there are about 12,000 ethnic groups in the world. And of them, more than half, around 7,300 are unreached. And of these, it's estimated that there is no attempt at all to reach and plant churches among 3,100 ethnic groups. More than a quarter of the world's ethnic groups. We as Christians have neglected and ignored Jesus' words. And due to the refugee crisis, many of these ethnic groups have come to you here in America and to us in Sweden, and people are coming to study from all around the world. Of the world's about 195 countries, 144 of them are represented in the area we moved into, church plant. And most of those people come from unreached people groups. Who will tell them about Jesus if not us? Who will share the gospel with Shania and other Somalis in our area, as well as in the major cities here in America? Who should share the gospel with Muhammad's fellow citizens who, because of the refugee crisis, have come to America and to Sweden if we do not do it? Do you realize what a great mission we have to make disciples of all people, and how neglected it is, both in our own surroundings and to the ends of the earth? What can you do, and how can you be a part of making disciples of all nations and people groups? So we have now, first of all, looked at what. Secondly, why. Why then should we make disciples of all people? And here I'm thinking about three things from our text. First of all, from the wider context of chapter 28, the resurrected Christ has been revealed. And as people meet him in the text, we see a pattern, first with a woman at the grave, how they see and worship the resurrected Jesus, and then how they're about to go and tell about him. And then the pattern is being repeated with the disciples, how they see and worship the risen Christ. And then they're asked to go and to tell about him. So first of all, because Christ has risen, and he's risen indeed, and if you have met him, you have become a witness to Jesus and thus been commissioned to go and tell about him. When it comes to Shania from Somalia, she and her family, they settle in England. And like many Muslims who come to faith, it started with a dream about Jesus, where she said that she heard the words, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And she had no idea where it came from, so she Googled it and discovered that it was from the Bible. And after a while, she came to faith. The risen Jesus changed her life. And now she and everyone who's met the risen Christ have been called to testify about him. So the first reason why we should make disciples of all peoples is because Jesus is risen indeed. Sing, sing, hallelujah. Reason number one, number two and three, why we should make disciples of all nations, we are given in the beginning and the end of the so-called Great Commission. Just like we're in America now, hamburgers, if you think the lows of a hamburger, we have that Great Commission in the middle, and then we get the reason why on the top loaves and the bottom loaves. So if we start with a top bread, like reason number two, we read about in verse 18. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." So Jesus, he has received all authority in heaven and on earth. And because of this, it says in the beginning of verse 19, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." So Jesus has been given all the power in heaven and on earth, and therefore we get his mandate to go to all people. It is impossible for us to save people. But Jesus is able. With his blood, he has in Revelation 5 verse 9, ransomed people from every tribe, language, people, and nation. And these are the ones we are called to reach. Even those it might feel like it is impossible to reach. Jesus is able to save. He has been given all the authority in heaven and on earth. And therefore we can make disciples of all people and nations. So the first reason why we can make disciples is because Jesus really has risen. And if you have met the risen one, we have become his witnesses. The second reason, on top of the burger, is because he has been given all authority. And then the third reason, on the lows below the burger, why we should make disciples, we get in verse 20. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Since he is with us every day until the end of time, we can go and make disciples of all people. Jesus is risen. He is powerful and he is with us to help us. So what are we waiting for? John Stott has said the well-known words. His authority on earth allow us to dare to go to the nations. His authority in heaven gives us our only hope of success. And his presence with us leaves us no other choice. So what do we wait for? First of all, we have been given and we know what our mission is. Secondly, we know why we should do it. So thirdly and lastly, how then do we do it? We've already mentioned that we are commanded to make disciples, simply to help people learn about Christ, to get to know him and to grow in following and making him known. To help people with God's word to take a step in the right direction, to follow and walk with Christ. In Matthew 28 verse 19 to 20, we're further told how we do this. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Here in the text, we are given three so-called participles who help us to understand what it means. Going, baptizing, and teaching. So first of all, by going. After the woman at the tomb heard that Jesus had risen, they were encouraged by the angel to go and tell. And on their way there, they met the risen Jesus, who also urged them to go and tell. And this also applies to us. If we are to be able to make disciples, we must go. The woman at the tomb, they only had to go into the city to tell the disciples. In the area where Shania lived in Gothenburg, which is very similar to her own area, I know that there are people who faithfully, actively reach out with the gospel, but she never heard it. In the area where she ended up in England, she had a neighbor who, after her dream about Jesus, took her with her to her church. Do we go to our neighbors? Do we go to our friends, classmates and colleagues? Do we go to the unreached people of our areas? So we are called to go and make disciples of all peoples. But if we cannot cross the street or to the apartment or house next door to share about Christ, how then can we cross the sea? Who exactly can you go to? Maybe you have a neighbor like Shania who has never heard the gospel. Maybe you can go to Syria and reach out to the people of Muhammad. Or why not starting to reach out today to whomever God sends in your path here in Blacksburg? And we are so thankful for this church and how you're already are reaching out. It's such a blessing to see that. Maybe there's someone sitting here next to you today, just like I did, where you're longing for someone to help and to equip them. Let us go. The second thing that we see here is go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And baptism is something that's very important when we make disciples. And Ralph, he reminded us about the opportunity to get baptized in this course about this summer. And baptism, it's when those who have come to faith publicly shows that they want to follow Jesus. This at the same time as the church with its members, when they baptize someone, they shows that this is a person that they really believe have come to a genuine faith and repentance. By baptizing, the church is confirming that a person's conversion is genuine. And is it not amazing to see when people are baptized? This is what brought my wife, Hannah, to this church. The first time that she came to visit BCF, you had a baptism, and it was people from different nations and I think unreached people groups that were being baptized here. And for me personal, it's such a joy to witness when we publicly when a person publicly take a stand to follow Jesus. When we get back to Sweden, we will have the joy of having a few baptisms this summer. The command to make disciples of all nations does not end here. We're not only called to go and baptize people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, which is wonderful, but thirdly and lastly, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. The very word disciple and make disciples has to do with learning. So we should not just baptize people and then move on, but an important part of discipleship is to teach them to keep all that I have commanded you. We cannot just disengage baptism from learning, but the two belong together. If we baptize, we must also take a responsibility very seriously to teach the one who get baptized to keep all that Jesus has commanded. And learning, it can happen in so many ways, both one-to-one, in small groups and like this publicly, to actively teach what Jesus said so that those who are coming to faith are learning to follow Jesus. The Bible, it makes no distinction between a genuine believer and a disciple. But Jesus was also calling non-Christians to become his disciples. Discipleship, it's not the next step on the Christian journey, but it starts with repenting and coming to faith. And then it continues through the rest of a believer's life that we are learning on our walk with God. Something that is often missed when we talk about the Great Commission, it's the church role in this. It is the local church who send out Christians to go and make disciples by baptizing them and teaching them to keep all that Christ has commanded. And the goal of this is to gather disciples in new churches who continue to do the same, to make disciples of all peoples. This really needs to be the focus for us too, in co-work with others, to be able to participate and see churches started, and especially among the least reached. There are still many, many people groups who have not yet been reached with the gospel. The Great Commission is really something that we as Christians, to a great extent, have neglected and ignored. We have met Muhammad, who's an example of the unreached peoples of the world. We met Shania, who is an example of the unreached people in our cities. And we have met me as a young person who can be an example of the many people who have never been discipled in our churches. What can we then do together and as individuals to actively make disciples among all peoples, and especially those who have not yet been reached? What can you do to reach people like Muhammad? Many times it's difficult to get in and stay in countries like his. Maybe you're an engineer, a nurse, or a doctor, or maybe you have another special competence. Or maybe you can get trained to get a special skill so you can get into hard access country. In that case, you have the opportunity to enter countries that others cannot enter, where you can make disciples among the unreached peoples. What can you do to reach people like Chanya in your surroundings? The many students that are coming to Tech. Maybe you can invite some to your home for food or offer them to some help to build bridges. What exactly can you do to reach the unreached? And what steps can you take to get to know your neighbors? What can you do to train disciples and equip ordinary Christians like me a few years ago to start growing and to be equipped to equip others? Who can you start to read the Bible with and help them on their journey with Jesus? Let me finish by a testimony from Jonathan in our church. He was a student in London who questioned the Christian faith, and one man named Leo, he offered to read the Bible with him. That investment, without obvious return, totally transformed Jonathan and made him start doing the same with many others. And he has been such an example and blessing for us in this. One day Jonathan came to me and asked, What do you think if I would read the Bible with John Misha, an exchange student who was just in our city for a few months? And naturally we might think, this is a waste of time. But we both thought, what a great opportunity, because we saw so much potential in him. And last summer I met John Misha. He came for a visit and he told me how he now was reading the Bible with several others. And then I asked Jonathan to ask Leo, the guy that asked him to read the Bible, how many people he has been reading the Bible with. And he said, almost 50 people. And imagine the ripple effect that has been having. There are countless of opportunities to reach out and train disciples. So what are we waiting for? And imagine the ripple effect that it could have if you start to invest time in a few people. Maybe you're already doing it. We are called to make disciples of all nations. We can do this because Jesus has been given all authority in heaven and on earth, and because he is always with us until the end of the age. So what are we waiting for? Let us go baptize and teach them to keep all that Jesus has commanded us. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for this text, and we want to confess how many times we have neglected opportunities that you have sent in our path, how I have been doing it. Forgive us, and we thank you that you are a God of all grace, and we thank you so much for that you use fragile, small people like us. I pray that you would send people in each one of our path whom you are drawing to yourself, that you would give us opportunity to make an impact for your kingdom and for the least reached. We thank you so much for what you've been doing through BCF, and I pray that you would continue to use them mightily in this city and to the ends of the world. Amen.